Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic will hold 3 days of national mourning for former dissident and former Czech president Václav Havel, who died on Sunday. Mr. Havel will be given a state funeral on Friday, December the 23rd at Prague St. Vitus Cathedral. Mr. Havel's body lying in repose at former Church of St. Anna in Prague will be transferred to Prague Castle on Wednesday. The Czech Republic will hold 3 days of national mourning for former dissident and leader Václav Havel, who passed away on Sunday. Mr. Havel paved the way for democracy in Czechoslovakia in 1989. Speaking at a press conference after an extraordinary government meeting on Monday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said the cabinet wanted to honor the late Mr. Havel not only as the first post-communist president, but also as a symbol of all-encompassing change in society. During the mourning period, flags on public buildings will be lowered to half-mast, and a minute of silence will be held at 12 p.m. on Friday in Mr. Havel's memory. The cabinet is also preparing a special bill in the name of the former president, recognizing his merit in leading the country out of totalitarianism to freedom and democracy. And the former Czech president Václav Havel will be given a state funeral on Friday, December the 23rd at Prague St. Vitus Cathedral. The ceremony will begin at noon. The location was confirmed by Radim Ochovat, spokesman to President Václav Klaus, after details were agreed on Monday by Mr. Klaus in a meeting with Mr. Havel's widow Dagmar. The Archbishop Dominic Duka was also present. Some who have already confirmed attendance on Friday include the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill Clinton, the 42nd President of the United States. Former Polish President Lech Walesa, the leader of the Solidarity Movement in the 1980s, will also attend, and other expected guests who have yet to confirm include the Austrian, German, and Polish presidents, as well as German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Václav Havel's body is lying in repose in the former Church of St. Anna in Prague, the spiritual center founded by the late president, for 2 days as of Monday. His remains will then be transferred to the Vladislav Hall of Prague Castle, where he will lie in state. On Monday, hundreds of people paid their last respects to Mr. Havel, bowing before his closed coffin at the former church. Mr. Havel's widow, Dagmar Havlova, placed a bouquet of roses with a black ribbon on her husband's casket. Others, too, have been bringing flowers. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Thanks for tuning in. As you will have heard, the Czech Republic has suffered a huge loss. The hero of the Velvet Revolution, ex-president Václav Havel, has died. In the next half hour, we bring you reactions from politicians as well as ordinary Czechs and hear from those who knew the late president in person. Stay with us. The death of Václav Havel stopped Czechs in their tracks on Sunday. A hush fell over the country as thousands of people gathered to light candles and pay a silent tribute to the hero of the Velvet Revolution. At 6 p.m., bells around the Czech Republic tolled in memory of the man who showed endless courage in the face of oppression and who led his nation on the road to freedom and democracy. Václav Havel died in his sleep at his beloved country cottage on Sunday morning. He died of circulation failure, succumbing to chronic heart and lung problems that left him frail for more than a decade. For millions of his countrymen, however, Václav Havel was a tower of strength, a moral authority and an inspiration who showed people that freedom and human rights were worth fighting for. The leading force behind the Velvet Revolution, Václav Havel led his country's transition to democracy, promising Czechs he would not fail them in the euphoric days of 1989.
Slibuji vám, že nesklamu vaši důvěru a dovedu tuto zemi ke svobodným volbám.
As news of Mr. Havel's death spread, condolences poured in from statesmen at home and abroad. The country's leaders, Václav Havel's close friends from the distant days, and ordinary people found it hard to hold back the tears as they hailed the dissident playwright president. President Václav Klaus said his predecessor had come to symbolize the modern Czech state.
Jeho osobnost, jméno i dílo.
Václav Havel's personality, reputation and work were crucial in helping Czechoslovakia join the community of free and democratic nations.
Společenství svobodných a demokratických zemí.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who heard the news on a live debate on Czech television, was visibly shaken.
Jsem tím lidsky zasažen, protože...
This is a personal blow to me. President Havel was a symbol of the Velvet Revolution, and he did so much for the benefit of his country.
V roce 1989 udělal pro tuto zemi strašně moc.
Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg was a good friend of Mr. Havel's and his one-time chancellor.
Unfortunately, people did not appreciate him enough in recent years. Now that we have lost him, they will come to realize just how much we have lost.
The Speaker of the Lower House, Miroslava Němcová.
To byl muž, který nás převedl po tom mostě z nesvobody do svobody a demokracie.
He was the man who helped us cross the bridge from oppression to freedom and democracy, and I will never stop being grateful to him for that.
Svobody a demokracie a nikdy mu za to nepřestanu být vděčná.
Michal Kocáb is an old friend who stood by Havel during the dissident days and later masterminded the withdrawal of Soviet troops from Czechoslovakia.
I am crushed. I loved Václav Havel. He was with me during the most important moments of my life.
Jan Rummel, a former interior minister, is also a close friend dating back to the dissident days.
The sparkle in his eye was there to the very end. No matter how ill and tired he was, there was this sparkle in his eye that said everything would turn out right in the end.
News of Václav Havel's death quickly spread around the world, and condolences and tributes poured in from both statesmen and ordinary people. U.S. President Barack Obama issued the following statement.
Václav Havel's peaceful resistance shook the foundations of an empire, exposed the emptiness of a repressive ideology, and proved that moral leadership is more powerful than any weapon.
Former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright was a close friend of Mr. Havel's. She spoke in her native Czech. He came across as such a nice person who never let the fame go to his head. I remember him at the center of attention, wearing a black T-shirt and jeans, a really modest person. British Prime Minister David Cameron said that Europe owed Václav Havel a profound debt for bringing freedom and democracy to the continent. French President Nicolas Sarkozy said France had lost a friend and Europe one of its wisest men. German Chancellor Angela Merkel described Václav Havel as a great European, paying tribute to his courage and humanity. In neighboring Poland, former President Lech Wałęsa, the founder of the anti-communist solidarity movement, called Mr. Havel a great fighter for the freedom of nations and for democracy, who deserved to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
He was a great man, a deserving man who will be greatly missed. May he rest in peace.
Niech spoczywa w pokoju.
As tributes to Václav Havel poured in from around the world, ordinary Czechs gathered in places of significance around the country. Prague Castle, the former president's villa, or Národní třída, where the Communist Secret Service cracked down on a peaceful student demonstration in 1989, sparking a wave of public opposition that toppled the communist regime. They came with candles and flowers to pay a silent tribute to the hero of the Velvet Revolution. The biggest gathering took place replaced by the equestrian statue of St. Wenceslas at the top end of Prague's main square, where several thousand people gathered. Here's what some of them had to say.
I'm very sad because I loved Václav Havel and he was my hero. It's national hero for all of us.
Well, it's over, isn't it? It's like the revolution has just ended now, so... It's a big loss. I don't know what else to say.
Do you feel like it's the end of an era?
Yeah, it's the end of an era. That's for sure. There's some people left, but he was the one. It's over.
It's a symbol, national symbol. Yeah? And it's deeply... It has deeply impact in our feelings of the whole nation, I think, now. And now is a little bit struggle around this symbol in this country, political struggle. Some part of this country dislike this symbol and would like to neglect him, and other part is still keep him in our hearts. And I think it's visible clearly in political development in this country, this struggle of those two parts of the system. So nothing is sure for future in our country.
Well, it wasn't so unexpected, but of course it's an end of an era. He's a very important historical person for former Czechoslovakia. So I, even though as a young student, I knew him, and of course I know his work, so it's not surprising, but it's sad.
Yeah, I think it's sad that he passed away, that I didn't have the occasion to meet him, which I think was a mistake. And I think he was a very, very important person for our nation state. I think he was like the moral value for this nation, and without him, it will not be as it was before. We lost the moral symbol. And I think that Czechs behaved a very... I don't know. Well, they didn't appreciate it, I think, as they should. Because he was really great person, great man, great philosopher also. And the Czech people were just angry because of some his mistakes, which he may be done. But I think the most important is... his philosophy and moral value.
I think with him, a really important person died, in, not only for Czech Republic, but I guess for Europe as a whole. And I guess he's really an inspiration for other people. Like, it's really sad that he passed away.
Václav Havel certainly was the only president, current president, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, who directed the nation, in my opinion, in the right destination, which was humanity, democracy, deep philosophy, and less of the kind of material stuff and stuff like that. It's very sad. However, if Czech people would realize where the nation is kind of directed right now, it's a little bit differently than Václav Havel had in mind originally, then I'm hoping it will help us, to the nation, to realize why we, I don't know, 20 years ago we were here, and kind of remind us where we want to be in the future.
I'd like to just light a candle for him. He meant so much for us, for the country and everything else. Now, I mean, I wouldn't be here today, so that's what I've got to say. I don't know, mate.
We were quite young when the Velvet Revolution happened, so for us, we can see the change would happen during the past more than 20 years. And, you know, we're walking on the street and look around and you just think, if these people all know, if they realized that if it wasn't for him, it would be totally different here. So I just wish that everybody remembers.
Ordinary Czechs there on the death of a modern-day hero, the symbol of the Velvet Revolution that turned round their lives more than 20 years ago. If you'd like to add your own comment on Václav Havel's legacy, please write to us here at Radio Prague. The email address is english@radio.cz. Now, in today's one-on-one, Jan Richter's guest in the studio is political commentator Jiří Behe, who in the 1990s served as an advisor to the late president. They discussed Václav Havel's role in Czech politics and society, his legacy for the future, and why he was such an inspiration to people around the world.
I think he was inspirational simply because he proved with his life that you can fight totalitarian systems, human right abuses with human decency. I think that his political program was just simple human decency. He gave this decency a name, truth and love, but basically his political program was to be decent.
He forged his major political thoughts in the 1970s, of course, when the oppression started again after the Soviet-led invasion of the country. How did it translate into his practical politics after he became president, after the fall of communism?
Well, I think that when he became the president, he was really in an uncharted territory, simply because he was catapulted into this position by history. I think that in the 70s, 80s, he still hoped to go back to writing and to be able to write in a free society. But instead, he became a politician, and so I think that he had to find his territory and had to find a way in which he would operate. Certainly, there were certain influences coming from the dissident era. For example, in the first few years, his concept of anti-political politics was quite present in his thinking. There was a certain mistrust of political parties. And although he eventually embraced political parties and sort of standard democratic structures, he still put a lot of emphasis on civil society, on morality and so on, kinds of things that you don't hear from professional politicians who actually entered politics through political parties and got to the top.
In one of his recent interviews, Václav Havel said he saw a direct link between the Charter 77 human rights movement, and then he named several political movements that appeared throughout the 90s and the first decades of the new millennium. How big do you think is that political stream within the Czech society that was represented in his day by Václav Havel?
Well, it is really difficult to say how big that stream is. I think that, in fact, his death to some extent has galvanized Czech society, and we can see that a lot of people you wouldn't expect to be followers of Václav Havel are now declaring that they actually have always shared his ideas, that they have been his supporters. So maybe the stream, the pro-Havel stream, the stream that actually follows his ideas is much stronger than we thought, especially now when a lot of people are dissatisfied with the corrupt nature of Czech politics, with clientelism and all of the other really pathological phenomena that we see in Czech politics. So in a way, we may see a renaissance of Havel's ideas, which certainly could be provoked by his death.
He was markedly less popular, or his ideas resounded much less at home than they did abroad for the last 20 years. Why is that? And do you think this might change after his death, unfortunately, but still?
Well, it's already changing. You can see that sort of the outpour of emotions is really huge, even from politicians who disagreed with Havel. So I think that there is a danger almost that he could become a myth before his political legacy is really evaluated in a proper analytical, critical context. So I see this as a certain problem, but at the same time, I think that this could have been expected because Havel was criticized at home very often for things which were, in my opinion, marginal. And I think this difference between the picture of Havel abroad and at home was a result of this, because, quite frankly, looking at Havel from the United States or from West European countries was different, because they didn't really get bogged down in these details, the day-to-day functioning of Czech politics and various other problems that Czech society faced. Whereas here in the Czech Republic, Havel was very often criticized for intervening with this or this or doing this and this, and the big picture disappeared. And this big picture was his courage, the fact that he had big ideas, that he fought as one of the very few people very courageously against an inhuman regime, and that he was a decent man. I think that that somehow got blurred or in some ways even forgotten, and now I think it's all coming to the surface. So I think that we are seeing sort of a change here, and the domestic perception is now quite quickly nearing the perception of Havel abroad.
In one of the documentaries, Václav Havel complained that for Czechs he embodies their conscience from the communist times when he suffered in jail and other people didn't do anything, just sat at home doing nothing, collaborating, some of them, with the communist regime. And now they don't want their conscience from the communist time to do things they don't want it to do, which was limiting. Was that an accurate description of his position with the Czechs?
Absolutely. Havel was, in the first few years after the Velvet Revolution, Havel became a symbol of something that he couldn't really live up to. Because in many ways, people projected into him their ambitions. They projected into him what they would have wanted to be if they were more courageous. And so he became, of course, very quickly kind of politician who really couldn't live up to these expectations. And then when the first failings came, or first problems, suddenly a lot of people almost started hating him, because he wasn't, in their eyes, anymore the kind of person they thought he should be, something above humanity almost. And certainly Havel was aware of that. He was a very smart man, and he was aware of this very, in a way, dangerous role that he played. Also, I think that he provoked a lot of people by making moralist appeals, by telling people that they should be politically active, they should work in civil society, and occasionally criticizing, although he wasn't certainly arrogant in this sense, criticizing the fact that a lot of people didn't do much during the communist times. And all of that, I think, contributed to the fact that, on the one hand, he was revered by a lot of people, but on the other hand, when they actually discovered that Havel is human, for example, when he married Dagmar Veškrnová, and sort of disappointed a lot of people who expected him to be sort of a saint after the death of his first wife, all of a sudden his popularity dropped sharply.
Where do you think that courage came from? What he did, of course, was very courageous. He was already an established popular author, a playwright whose plays were staged all over the world. Why do you think he actually sort of threw all that away for a life of surveillance and occasional prison time?
Well, I think at first it comes partly from his family history, because he was born into one of the wealthiest families in Czechoslovakia, and a very well-known family, and because of his class origins, as they used to call it, he was persecuted already as a young man, and he couldn't study what he wanted and so on. So I think very early on he developed a very critical attitude towards the communist regime, despite the fact that I think that he was basically in his mind throughout his life a leftist. He certainly wasn't a big admirer of capitalism and so on. I think that he was basically a leftist liberal. But still, the regime didn't treat him nicely, and I think that in the 50s in particular contributed to his entire regime attitudes, and he was, in a way, for the rest of his life, influenced by this. But on a more general level, I think that what fueled Havel's very courageous behavior was his decency. He simply didn't like the communist regime because it was an indecent regime. He was very bright, very intelligent, and he didn't like the communist speak and bureaucracy and all the absurdities of that regime. And I think because he was a decent man, he actually found courage to say these things openly. And this is really remarkable because I knew Havel very well, and I have to say that he wasn't by nature a courageous man. He was a shy, timid man who I think had to find a lot of inner strength to openly face the regime.
He won and the regime lost, which of course was greeted by probably all Czechs back in 1989. Would you say he was a successful president as well, as successful as he was a dissident?
Well, in some ways, he was more successful than the country deserved. And I'm saying this because I think that he created, if we take into consideration that the main task of the president is to represent the country abroad, that his main role is not in domestic politics, then he succeeded marvelously. And as I said, he maybe succeeded even more than he should have, because he created a kind of image for the Czech Republic which it didn't deserve. The outside world viewed the Czech Republic through Havel. And I met a lot of people abroad in the United States, in Western Europe, who thought that we have a lot of people like Havel, because where would he come from? And then when Havel stepped down, all of a sudden this new face of the Czech Republic appeared, very pragmatic, cynical, corrupt, and so on. And I think he basically created a facade for the country which it didn't really deserve. I remember teasing him a few times, and I said, you know, you are engaged in deceptive advertising because you have managed through your own personal story create an image for the country which this country certainly doesn't deserve.
In his obituary, the New York Times said he personified the soul of the Czech nation. Do you think that is true?
I would say he personified what's good in the soul of Czech nation. He personified what the Czech nation aspires to and what many people in the Czech nation would like to be, but an overwhelming majority of them will never be. And that was also the kind of curse that Havel had to live with, because even during the dissident times, during the normalization regime, before I emigrated from Czechoslovakia, I met a lot of people who would be disquieted by the fact that there are people like Havel who oppose the regime and possibly make things more difficult and so on. So he was really an exceptional man who followed his own route.
You served as political advisor to the late President Václav Havel for about 2 years. What did you find working with him? How was he in personal relations?
Well, actually, his personal side is the most enjoyable memory of my time with Havel, because I left my post as the chief political advisor after 2 years simply because I didn't enjoy being part of the bureaucracy and the protocol and so to speak. It was too constricting, but what I really enjoyed was Havel. He was simply a great boss and a great colleague, a great sense of humor, irony, and although I worked for him at a time when he was not well, he went through two very serious illnesses and almost died in 1998. He still handled all of this with grace, and when he was actually okay, he was a joy to be around. Very intelligent, a very good sense of humor, great ideas. What else can anyone wish for in his boss?
Political commentator Jiří Pehe, former advisor to the late President Václav Havel. He was speaking there to Jan Richter in today's one-on-one. And that brings us to the end of today's program from Radio Prague. Thank you very much for the emails and messages of condolence that you have sent Radio Prague on what is a sad time for the Czech nation. Should you like to contact us, write to english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.